Between vacations, errands, and everyday summer chaos, sticking to your health goals can be tough. Luckily, Thrive Market does the hard work for you. We're the online healthy grocery store that cuts out the junk ingredients and delivers high-quality groceries right to your door. From low-sugar beach snacks to organic grill night staples, no matter your health goal, we make shopping healthy a breeze. Go to thrivemarket.com/get started for 30% off your first order and a free $60 gift.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor. Gaza. Headlines out of London. Pro-Palestinian demonstrators spat and spewed anti-Semitic remarks at counter-protesters. This is London reporting. Student protesters disrupt University of Michigan graduation. Again, London reporting. U.S. withholds ammunition shipment destined for Israel. London reporting. Israel threatens imminent Rafah invasion if ceasefire talks collapse. More substantive, because that's Jerusalem reporting. I welcome Thaddeus McCotter of Writing at American Greatness about what we can expect in Gaza when and if these threatening headlines become headlines of rebuild, revitalize, repeat. Thaddeus, a very good evening to you. Your crystal ball about the future of Gaza seems unusually prescient. Have we seen this before somewhere? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you, John. Yes, we've seen it before. And unfortunately, the failure of the international community, not only to recognize the situation, but actually to fulfill their promises in reacting to it, have intensified what we're seeing now and will only cause problems down the road. I've tried to look at it from both sides, and what we find is, first, the international community is, again, promising to rebuild and revitalize Gaza post-war. We've seen this before in 2014. We've seen this where they make all sorts of promises to the people of Gaza, and then they fail to deliver. They fail to deliver largely across the board, and particularly the Arab countries, especially in 2014, failed to deliver on almost all their promises. What that does, John, is it leads to the failure of credibility for the international community in a very important sense. Everybody believes that if there was an attempt, a real effort on the part of the people of Gaza to renounce terrorism, join the international community, and seek a just and lasting peace, that the international community would reward them with economic support, aid, and everything under the sun. Well, what they're getting promised now is the same thing on a smaller scale, but they're not even delivering on that. So the people of Gaza have become very skeptical of any promises by the international community. And why would they then put their faith in the international community, rewarding them for renouncing terrorism, when they haven't delivered at all in the past? And all that would await them then is a potential death at the hands of Hamas terrorists. So what the international community has done is by revitalizing and rebuilding and promising to, they're basically promising to reward Hamas for their actions. And by failing to deliver on that, they're sending the wrong signal to the people of Gaza that there will be no reward for those who seek to renounce terrorism and seek peace. It's the catch-22 in the most insidious fashion, and we can thank the international community for it.
You quote Richard Kozel Wright, a director at the United Nations Conference on Trade and Development. The quote is, well, it looks to be useful. We're talking about around $20 billion if it stops now, he said. The reconstruction will require a new Marshall Plan, he said. I think we've heard that before. $20 billion to rebuild the destroyed buildings, if it comes to that. That seems, compared to the kind of numbers thrown around in Washington, doable. But you're reporting that there have been numbers at that scale before, and they're still waiting. Is that correct, that is?
Yes, they're talking about it. There's different talks. We've seen reports about the U.S. wanting to build a fort. We've seen reports from the U.N., as you've referenced. We've seen them across the board, different promises, but all the same. promising billions to reconstruct and revitalize Gaza when it's done. But again, not only is that sending the wrong signal that somehow you'll be rewarded if you engage in terrorism, that Hamas will continue to be seen as a viable alternative because the consequences will be diminished. I go back to someone, again, I cited also Yara M. Asi, I hope I pronounced that correctly. She wrote at the Arab Center, Washington, D.C. about this back in 2021, well before the current troubles. And that's where she had been discussing the impact it has upon the people of Gaza. And I found that statement from John Kerry in there about 2014. And we're seeing history repeat itself. So people who care about this understand that the international community, again, has created a situation where you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. You're just damned altogether because of the way that they've addressed this situation over the course of over a decade.
Can you picture Gaza could be different? It's not a prosperous possibility. It's not a viable state. It depends upon transfer payments from a variety of sources. Can we imagine a different Gaza, or can we imagine a smaller Gaza with people emigrating?
Well, where there's life, there's hope. And I think about this because in my lifetime, I don't necessarily think I would have ever seen a resolution to the troubles in Northern Ireland. And yet, my former colleague Peter King and others, Bill Clinton and others, worked on it. So the Good Friday Accords, what you saw was the people of Northern Ireland, both Protestant and Catholic, understood that violence was not the solution, that they were just damaging themselves and others in a fruitless pursuit of an alleged victory, which would never come. And only when that happened did you start to see the rejection of violence, the rejection of terrorism, and the rejection of long-held grievances and hatreds. So it is possible, but right now, all we're seeing is a continuation of failed promises by the international community to make it much harder for the people of Gaza to renounce terrorism and to seek a just and lasting peace, because again, there's no credibility of the international community to support them economically, support them in any way possible to reach that decision.
There's talk of a rapprochement continuing between Israel and Arab states, chiefly Riyadh. Will that change the landscape at all to your projection in Gaza?
What you have to do is you have to stop the inculcation of hate. You have to stop believing that supporting Hamas terrorism is going to lead to any type of successful resolution for anybody. It's only going to lead violence, destruction, and hatred and perpetuate the cycle. Unfortunately, that's something that is not only difficult for people who have been inculcated with hate and indoctrinated with hate in the Gaza population. You're also seeing it on American college campuses, as you pointed out earlier. And again, hate begets hate, and the cycle will continue.
Thaddeus McCotter writing in American Greatness about Back to the Future in Gaza. When and if, then it looks, and what will happen, and we'll do this again. This is Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.